What's up, guys? Maddie Moore here with Fabian. And we also have a really cool guest today, and his name is Lance.
Lance is the creator of BankX, a stablecoin that has a lot of really cool features. So Lance has worked with Vint Cerf, the creator of the internet. He's been on NASA panels talking about interplanetary data transmission. I know you've started a few tech companies, sold them, and you've been in cryptocurrency for a long time. And you created a stablecoin that basically addresses the problems in the crypto market now and then fixes them. What's this whole cryptocurrency thing? Like, what's the whole craze about it?
I think the real movement behind cryptocurrency is it's really the underlying technology that removes the need for trust and having middlemen between, say, two counterparties. So blockchain is really removing the time, cost, and just problems that are associated when you have people in the middle. So it's not just cryptocurrency that is the sort of first use case, but that's certainly what everybody knows about, where it keeps a ledger that's not centralized. So when you look at how we operate today, you have a bank that has their own sort of centralized servers that keep track of the ledger. And with blockchain, there is no single point of sort of centralization where someone could take control of the ledger and sort of print money out of thin air or change that.
Can you explain what a ledger is so people know?
Yeah, so the ledger is Maddie owns 10 Bitcoin, Lance has 3, Fabian has 2, Maddie moves 5 to Fabian, and then the balance for the ledger is kept track.
So it's like the accounting kind of, like,
right. It's like what? The accounting of who owns what, without the ability of any single person to be able to change that. And that's the real innovation behind the decentralized ledger or blockchain.
Yeah. And so centralization being there's a single point that controls it, and decentralized meaning there's no one person that can control it. Right.
Right. So anywhere along the line, is there a point where you could capture a system and then basically break it or change it? Right. And so with cryptocurrency, you have incentive structures and people who are basically replicating the ledger among a bunch of different computers. So you can really never change it. It's impossible. They've tried to with Bitcoin. So that's what Bitcoin's been around for over 12 years. And everyone's tried to get Bitcoin, and the only way they've been able to really take Bitcoin is when someone gets your wallet address. So if someone has your wallet, then they can effectively move your money. But other than that, there's been no way that they've been able to sort of hack or change the ledger.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it removes the ability for people to mess with things. I know you graduated from George Mason in economics.
Right.
I was reading that economists can finally test theories in blockchain, like tokenomics, without having politics get involved. Right.
Right. So I think what's going to happen, Fabian, is we are going to learn so much about economics, like what is true and what's not true. So what is a tariff on steel from China do to an economy? Does it actually, you know, change it or increase our production and sale of steel here in the US if we have a tariff from other countries? So the nature of the blockchain is you have sort of this open ledger, which is something we didn't mention, is that everyone can see, if they have your wallet address, they can see how much you have. So what companies have done is they have gone and sort of done this data analysis on transactions. So you know, sort of in real time, we'll be able to go through and see what's happening in an economy once it sort of shifts fully digital, right?
So that's amazing. So everyone can see everyone's balance. Like, you can't hide money in the blockchain.
Exactly. So the anonymity comes from, I have a private key and they don't know that you're associated with that private key. But if, you know, if you go to a centralized exchange and you say, I'm Fabian, send me my money from this centralized exchange, they've done all of the KYC or know your client information. So they would be able to basically link you to that address. So
is centralized a regular bank, correct?
Right. Or, so when I'm in centralized, like there's, you've heard of Coinbase, Maddie, that's a centralized exchange. It's a company or entity that's doing the crypto exchanges for you. So when you go in and buy, right. So because they're a company, they have all this regulation where they have to check to make sure you're not a criminal and all of that. So they know who you are.
Okay.
So if you have your Bitcoin address and you say, I want you to send the Bitcoin that I just bought, send it to my address, they can basically link you to your address and they know that that is your Bitcoin address. So that's, okay. So the anonymous nature of the blockchain would then, I mean, they know who you are at that point, but generally it was designed so that there's anonymity with who has the money, but an open ledger on what address owns what.
Okay.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah. And we like decentralized because you can see who, like you can see what addresses have money and where it's moving, but you don't know who owns that money. So it's completely open, but you just don't know who is the owner.
Like with Ethereum, you can just go to etherscan.io, I believe, and type in an address and it tells you the balance and then every transaction you've ever done.
Yep. So like my wallet right now on like BSC scan or etherscan, you put it in and anyone, if they have your wallet address and they know it's yours, they can see all the money you have in your account. Everything you bought, everything you sold. It's like looking at your bank statements, except there's no name on it. So that's how you're anonymous.
I was going to say, isn't that dangerous? But if your name's not on it, then that's good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. That's why I mentioned that, you know, if you're someone that has a lot of cryptocurrency, you want to be careful about, you know, who
knows
you
know, your, you
Right. Like if you're a company and you say, you know, send Bitcoin here if you want to donate or buy, and then that's your address that you use and you've sort of made it public. So you just need to split addresses up. So it is, it's an area, Maddie and Fabian, that it's going to basically, if the whole idea of removing middlemen and time and cost, it's going to touch every industry. It's not, people are just thinking about Bitcoin, but the idea that it's going to remove middlemen and time and cost in every industry. This is really, I think, bigger than the internet, probably 10 or 20x times the impact it'll have, because the blockchain, actually the internet's going to collapse into the blockchain. So we'll have a whole different type of the way that we interact with servers and networks, where you won't have a central middleman. Like, I think in the future, there won't be, you know, a central authority that has your social media like Facebook and Instagram and things like that. So from a futurist sort of viewpoint, that's where I think we're headed with it. So it's much more than just cryptocurrency, even though that's what we're going to talk about mostly here.
I feel like the government's going to be so pissed about all of this. They're like,
they
are. Damn,
aren't they already already?
Masses. Let's just give them something else to be mad about.
Well, Maddie, they already are. They've already signaled all of this regulation. So I've wrote about it on Reddit. So the target is stablecoins, because that really gave a lot of life to decentralized finance, being able to, as a crypto trader, be able to use stablecoins as a neutral position. So instead of selling Bitcoin and being in US dollars, you could be in, say, a US dollar backed crypto like Tether, and stay in crypto and then wait to go into your next trade.
Yeah, so it's a new. Can you explain what a stablecoin is for people who are listening and haven't really heard that term?
Yeah, so a stablecoin is meant to track the price of another asset. So most of them are USD backed. So it basically is one for one. So it's interesting sort of the innovation that's happened around stablecoins, where you first started with a company like Tether, which has about 70 billion with a B in US dollars. They're the biggest stablecoin out there. And basically what they do is they're a company with a bank account where they, for each dollar that's in their bank account, they issue a Tether. So a Tether essentially is $1. So, but it's still centralized. So you have to rely on them that they're going to do what they say, that they're truly backing one Tether with another, with a USD, with a physical dollar, I guess you could say. There's been a lot of talk of like, are they really backing all of this Tether out there with USD? So, so that's sort of the first thing that's happened as far as creating a stable coin where you could stay in a neutral position. It avoids market volatility. So that is the, and then from there, people saw that, okay, well, this Tether company, they could be shut down, or maybe they're doing some things with the money that, you know, could cause issues. Like they don't have all the money or somebody ran off with it. Right. So then what a company like MakerDAO or the DAI, they decided instead of keeping USD in a bank, what they would do is you could use Ethereum and use that as collateral to make a stable coin. So they, instead of deciding to back it with US dollars, you could, what's called staking, which is a term you've probably heard in cryptocurrency, where you would stake this Ethereum in on the blockchain. And then that would mint a DAI, which was meant to track the price of $1. But if the underlying collateral, if the Ethereum price dropped, you would get a liquidated. So the market sort of evolved from this, we have USD in a bank and we issue a cryptocurrency, to let's eliminate the bank. And then we have an Ethereum crypto asset as the value backing that stablecoin. And that was sort of the next innovation around that. So
yeah,
I
was going to say, part of the reason why people say, oh, crypto is so volatile is because of this liquidation stuff. So, and when Lance says go neutral, I mean, like Bitcoin's not going to keep moving, but some people are like, I want to be able to sell my Bitcoin and hold my money, but I don't want to have to transfer it into US dollars and then transfer it back into crypto. So a stable coin is basically something that it shouldn't move. So like Tether's supposed to be $1. It's just one digital kind of dollar, I guess you can call it. So you can sell your Bitcoin into Tether, and let's say you have $10,000 in Tether, that amount's not going to change. If you see Bitcoin go down and you want to buy it back in because now it's less, you can use that. That's essentially what it was. And with the liquidation stuff, yeah, people leverage themselves. And then it's just like a loan. You know, if they think you're going to lose their money, then they can sell your coins so they can recoup that money. That's what contributes to the market volatility. Always people getting margin called and they just lose everything.
Yeah, that's what, so Fabian, that's, if you remember, they called 2020 the summer, DeFi summer. That's when people really started minting stable coins by staking Ethereum in MakerDAO. And that was when this whole yield farming thing really took off, where people owned Ethereum, they would go and mint a stable coin. Then they have a stable coin, they would go buy more Ethereum to mint more stable coin. And they were basically ratcheting up the amount of leverage they had with position in Ethereum. And then they would go take their stable coin and put it somewhere in staking to earn even more returns. So there was absurd returns. I mean, there's some, you know, 100%, 500% a year. I mean, you've seen it too,
yep.
Baby, with the, yep. Just how absurd it gets. And it's eroding the asset base of traditional banks, because, you know, you have banks who are, you know, paying sub 1%. You have to deal with a bank. You have, you know, sort of the
bank
the
fees, risk,
bank fees, all of that. And when you can control your own money and get these crazy returns.
And so, yeah, that's what I really like about crypto, is like, it's, Right now, the bank controls the interest rate, the Federal Reserve, and then each individual bank on a savings less than 1%, like you said. And there's no reason for it to be like that. It's just the bank takes your money and goes and makes a bunch of money with your money. So the money you have is not really in your bank account. It's being used probably to give you a loan from a different bank. But crypto allows you to really do anything you want. You create the ecosystem. And as long as people are willing to trade and use something, that gives it value. So it's really opening the door to people being able to like live freely, like actually make money just by staking something, you know, just like a dividend stock. You own a bunch of stock, it'll pay you dividends. This is like that on steroids, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you just look at what they've done to the US dollar, where we've got to a point, especially with the shutdown with COVID, where they're printing money like crazy, you know, you have 30 to 40% of the US dollars in existence today were printed out of thin air in the last, in a period of 12 months. So we have yet to feel the inflation of that.
It'd be awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming. There's a term called shrinkflation, where producers and manufacturers start to basically put less and less of the actual product in the box, but you don't know it. And they're able to basically cut the cost down. It's called shrinkflation. So that's usually the first sign, and we're seeing kind of that. So the centralization of the creation of currency, where, like as Fabian said, they control everything, the money supply, the interest rate, the capital reserve requirements of banks. So they have all these levers that they pull, which they're always wrong and cause all kinds of problems. So rather than sort of leaving it up to people, you know, so it's really a movement to put sort of the control of your money back in your hands, I think, is really this.
Yeah,
whole
it really is. It's amazing. It's freedom, basically. Right now, you want to buy something, you have to go work a job, or you have to do something to earn you money. And the, you know, who says how much you earn is dictated by that company, what they're willing to pay. And then you have to pay interest rates on, like, who dictates what the interest rate is at, you know, for your mortgage? The banks do. So the banks control everything. Yep. And this is taking control away from them and giving it directly to the people. And the government doesn't like that, because the government, obviously, they control the money. That's how they stay in power. So governments are against this. You know, the U.S. government is against it. China banned crypto, essentially, trying to stifle it, and they can't. It just moved overseas. Now we have El Salvador has a legal tender, a legal currency. Ukraine's talking about it. Mexico's talking about it. It's starting to spread now. It's going to take over everything. So it's just
absolutely. Because they can't stop it. China bans it and the price goes up. The hash rate doesn't change on Bitcoin, because all the miners do is just move to another country. So it's laughable that they try to, I think what they're basically doing is they have their ideas of releasing their own central bank digital currency. So they don't want any competition. You and I talk a lot about this stuff, this geopolitics stuff, right? It's all around China coming out and releasing their own digital yuan, where they can make that a part of the Belt and Road initiative, where they basically, like what we've done, where we print money out of thin air in the US and then loan it to countries. Now we have a bit of control over them. What China's trying to do is something similar to that with the digital yuan. But, you know, that's sort of, there's a battle going on, definitely, of this. Yeah. And it's going to be a battle of stable coins between countries, and then between people that aren't associated with a government. So,
yeah, I mean, Facebook came out and said that they're going to release a stable coin. And now all of a sudden, all this negative news is coming out about Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg. Like, there was a PR play that right there. Like, they don't want to do that. You have what I truly believe is the U.S. is printing all this money because they want to go to a stable coin. But it's going to be very hard to get people to, you know, allow the U.S. or be cool with them releasing a digital currency. So if they print all this money, what I think they're going to say is, hey guys, inflation is going to wreck us. We're going to have another Great Depression. The only way out of this is if we create a stable coin and we move over to that.
Then 100%, Fabian. 100%. It's a
fear in people. Allow them to do it.
Yep, absolutely. Wreck the system now to put in a new one. And it's, if they get a CBDC and do it this way, that provides even more control, I think, right? Because you have, now they can see really from a tracking perspective what's happening. I mean, they've got, they'll know your address. They'll be able to see what's happening. So,
yeah. Then the government literally controls your money rather than the government de facto by the banks controlling your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love stable coins. I have a lot of stable coins myself. And what you've done is you've revolutionized it, essentially, kind of like what we were talking about, where you give people the freedom to make more money by having money. And you've removed the number one thing that causes volatility is the fact that if cryptocurrency goes down, the underlying asset, you can be liquidated, which is what people over leverage themselves. So you've figured out a way to kind of have your cake and eat it too, right? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Right. So the system's designed that there is no liquidation in this sort of decentralized bank. Effectively, what we've done is decentralized the creation of currency or digital currency. So instead of in the MakerDAO example, we have an incentive structure where if there's times of collateral deficit of or surplus, it's adjusted within the system and there's market forces to keep the collateral at what it should be. So I don't know how deep you want me to go into that, Fabian. There's a whole sort of, we use the percentage collateral of Ethereum as a price stabilization technique within the stable coin. So there's a lot there. I just don't want to.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get a little Maddie deeper there. Into it in another one before we go all go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. It's a really like,
it's big.
When I started really getting deep in it, I got happy. Like it made me think that the future of humanity is not like just doomed and can be controlled by government, but it's true freedom. Like people can live their life and have enough money coming in. So, you don't have to slave away at a job. You stake some money and then you get that money every month. You get money every month that you can live on. Sort of what the rich people do, who live off dividends and they never spend they collect interest and they just live off the interest. They don't ever have to work. This is giving that to a regular human being that they don't have to have tons of capital to get to the same place, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, I think the thing that's really different of what we're doing with BankX to kind of get to that point is it's the first stablecoin that pays you interest for minting a stablecoin. When you look at how the system is set up now, you have banks that create currency out of thin air and then they charge interest on it. So they don't have the collateral. So the key thing that we're doing is now that you have collateral and you are coming to the system in this decentralized way, I won't have any, there's no person in between you and the blockchain. So you're interacting directly with software code that's decentralized to put a piece of crypto collateral that will mint the stablecoin. And then the entire time that's in circulation, you're earning interest. So this system actually incentivizes you to mint this and to keep it in circulation. So it's the first that's ever been
that's doing crazy. So your money is going out there and literally working for you. But that's your part of the money, but it goes into the system and it works and then you get paid.
Even more back. Yeah.
Isn't it really cool
to use like a credit card just to use it, but not
right. So when you look at the credit card example, like you deposit your money in a bank and then they go lend it to someone else who charges that on a credit card and they charge them these outrageous fees when it's your money that they're going and lending out. But there's a lot more to it, Maddie, actually. So what banks are doing is when you deposit money, they're not lending it out. What they do is they use that money as the reserve requirement so they can go borrow 5 or 10x from the central bank, which is basically printed out of thin air. So banks then take that money from the central bank and then they lend it out. So they're basically leveraging up their interest rate that they can earn. So if people knew what really went on, they'd be pretty upset with, and that's the people in crypto, it's why they're in it because of what's going on. And
yeah.
If it's your money, you shouldn't be getting charged for it. It's just crazy.
Yeah. And so what's crazy is in the 2008 crisis, I know they lowered the reserve requirements, I think for like what, 2% or something like that. So I think it was around 2%. So the banks only had to have, from all the money that they had, they only had to keep 2% or so in the actual, like in money. So when there was a collapse, you know, whenever there's something happens in the economy, the first thing people do is they go to the bank to take all their money out. Like happened in Greece, it happens all the time. Well, they can't do that if there's no money. There's no money in there. So the banks don't have money and people are going. And that's essentially when we had to bail out the banks. That's kind of what we did. We're just like, all right, let's print a bunch more money. Don't mess up again. Here you go. And it's insane. And these are the smartest people supposedly doing that are. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Will we ever, in that example, will we ever see a bank run? I'm not sure. That would cause a lot of problems, which is, after inflation, then it goes into like, do we need to run to the bank? And so we need a system like this that puts, your money in your hands, that, with the elements that we're talking about. So basically, in coming up with BankX, I looked at what every sort of protocol out there that was what they were doing, and chose sort of the best pieces, not only like how the system worked, but how it maintained the price of the underlying sort of stable price that it's supposed to be. And then added the point where, you should earn interest for this. So that's the key part of it. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you must be working day and night on this stuff. I mean, just to create it and come up with it and to make it work must be an insane amount of work.
Yeah, it's like 14, 16 hour days, and it's always weekends through, like 7 days a week. It's like kind of like that. Yeah, it's wow. I mean, you know how it is, right? It's just never. It's always something to do, and so
not only that, but like you were saying earlier, the cryptocurrency world is changing so fast. There's stuff that, like, I mean, you think about it and you'll look and it's already made. It's insane. And it changes so fast. It's morphing into whatever it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. So I've been in tech for a long time, and I'm spending a couple hours a day just to keep up with all the different projects and what they're doing there. There's so much innovation. It's hard to keep up with. Absolutely. Yeah. So.
It's amazing that people still think about Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is like the dinosaur now. It's digital gold.
That's the grandfather. Yeah. That's the retired grandfather.
That's it. And but the stuff they're coming out is so dynamic, and like, it's insane what people's minds can create now that they have the blockchain technology. The
creativity.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. It unleashed a lot of creativity without, with people being able to, projects are what they call open source. So when you release something, everyone can see your software code. So people take your code and they build on it. So instead of recreating something else, they can basically take what you did and then add something to it.
That's one of the reasons it's going so fast as well.
It's going so fast that
it's like you're building, everyone's building on top of everyone's stuff, compared to like everything is secret, right? Like, I know exactly. Tesla prints some open source stuff, not everything, but they have some open source stuff. I mean, Elon Musk, he builds his rockets in the middle of the desert, or in Florida where everyone can see. No one's ever done that. Everything's so secretive. They only show you the final product, but his take is, fail early and fail often, and then you'll iterate. So I think that's a great way.
Absolutely. Open source. And this is by having that open nature, you see what works and what doesn't work very quickly. So, prior tech companies, you had to, as you said, iterate fast and fail fast to get to it. But now you can see what's working. And I've already had people contact me. Where's your code? I want to take it. I was like, I'm not going to give you the code before we launch, so you can be the first.
You're like, give me a break. Like, wow.
Yeah. Do I look like an idiot? They're like, yeah, wow. Let me see your code. I'm like, I'm not gonna send it to you. Like, you know, so people, I mean, when they feel like something might work, they might try to jump on it. So you get things like that. Anyway, we're looking to be sort of have our initial liquidity pool and have the protocol launched in December, January, something like that. So we're pretty close, actually.
So it is a stable coin, then you mint it. So you create it by using other assets. And then as long as that stable coin is in existence, you earn money from it. You earn interest.
Yeah, exactly. So what's sort of new with us is to kind of finish off the evolution of stablecoins was after there was sort of physically backed collateral, then there was crypto backed. Then they said, well, we don't want collateral. And they came out with something called algorithmic, which is just a fancy way of saying we use supply and demand and market forces, and then also rules in the software to keep the peg. The issue with that is it doesn't have collateral just in case those fail or there's some problem with the code. So basically what we did with BankX is we collateralize it with a certain percentage of Ethereum and the BankX token. So you have full 100% collateral. It uses algorithmic or market forces and software rules to help maintain the peg. And there is no liquidation paying you interest the entire time it's in circulation. So if you look at it from, say, a crypto trader's perspective, where you heard, SEC chairman Gensler said that 75% of crypto trades involve a stablecoin on one side or the other, either buying or selling. So from a crypto trader's perspective, you could come into BankX with your collateral and do as we said, where you could mint the stablecoin, earn interest, buy more collateral to mint more stablecoin to earn even more interest, and you know, leverage that up to where the interest you're earning from this decentralized sort of non-bank called BankX, where you have 100% return and then left with or whatever amount return you'd like to do, the number of times you do this. And then you have a stablecoin to go buy a car or, you know, invest in some other cryptocurrency or something like that. So it really does take the idea of stable coins that have collateral that can be liquidated and sort of flip that around, where now you're earning the interest without liquidation. And, you know, some of these other protocols where you can be liquidated if, say, the price of Ethereum drops.
Yeah. So someone could just literally come into your ecosystem, mint, buy Ethereum, mint some more, and live without having to worry about money. Is that right?
Exactly. I mean, it's your universal basic income that you talk about, baby, right? So
literally, Maddie, you can go into his ecosystem, mint stuff, get interest, and not have to work anymore, or like make enough money to live and do whatever you want. That's literally insane.
Sounds ideal to me.
That's a game changer. I mean, think about people's like, I mean, you know, I love Andrew Yang, but he talks a lot about people's mental health. If you're working all day, you're working multiple jobs, you're going to be stressed, and that stress causes a bunch of different ailments. So he says it's expensive. He says it's expensive to be poor, basically is what he says. If you're poor, you don't have adequate healthcare. You don't have good enough food. So you're going to be unhealthier longer in life. And that's going to cost you money, not money, but time, you know, relationships, family, life. It's really crazy. So this is great that it's giving people the ability to do all that, but you're removing the bad part about crypto is the liquidation and the volatility.
Right. And some of them also there's been issues where some of them haven't been able to maintain their stableness. So they've lost their peg, which is a disaster. So there was a protocol called Iron Finance, without getting too into it, but basically there was some problems with the software. There were where people were gaming the system and drove the price down, and then people lost faith in it, and they essentially caused what was a bank run. And they went from, I think, 2 billion locked with a B, or was it one or two billion? It was an outrageous amount of crypto that was locked in their system, down to, I think, 5 or 7 million. Now they're trying to recover. Wow. A lot of their problem was how they were getting the pricing for their crypto. And so people don't do that anymore, what they were doing. So,
yeah. So where do you see this, like, let's say 2 years down the line, where do you see us heading to as far as like the cryptocurrency world? Cause that's, since it's changing so fast, I don't know if it's be hard to put your finger on it or a general idea.
Yeah. It's, I think 2 years down the line, Fabian, we've got, I think your identity is going to be on the blockchain. So imagine your driver's license, where it can be verified, just like the ownership of your cryptocurrency. We could verify that this is really your driver's license and passport. So I think financial documents, I think there will be escrow on the blockchain. So you won't need, you know, middlemen to do that, where everything will be sort of verified and done on the blockchain, and in a world where everything is a key, from your identity to documents to money. Which would be everything. And we could effectively tokenize physical assets. So the idea that your car would be the ownership stored on the blockchain, you could fractionalize the ownership of real estate and apartment buildings. So you could be in Europe and own a fraction of an apartment building that's on the blockchain in the US. And then that rental income could be distributed to the owners on the blockchain automatically as your rent's paid. So it's an entire shift in how things are done. I get goosebumps a bit talking about it. We're looking at the internet, I would say, like, made this little bump. Right now we've got blockchain, AI, robotics, energy density, and genome sequencing. So those sort of six areas, which is just a monster amount of transformation like we've never seen before. That's why, you know, I think just the blockchain is a 10 to 20X change from what the internet did. And then you've got sort of all these other things. And I would probably add in there space, the innovations and the cost reduction in space with what we've seen there. So it's an exciting time to be alive if you're paying attention to this stuff.
It really is. I spend so much of my day just learning new. Like, I mean, every day I'm just like, oh my gosh, who's doing what? And we're pushing boundaries so fast. Like, innovation is so quick right now compared to, like, you know, at any time in the past before.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think people should start to, if you're not in crypto, to start looking at it. Absolutely. You know.
Program.
What's that,
Manny?
I need to get with the program.
Yeah. If they keep printing money the way that they're doing, Maddie, I don't know how they're going to print you into oblivion if you have a bank account. I mean, they're already, every president's done it since we came off the gold standard from Nixon. So now it's just, you know, they're looking at $3 trillion for infrastructure, another trillion here. There'll be a point in time where it's like, oh, we're printing a couple trillion, maybe a month, you know, or, you know, 5 trillion a quarter, because there's nothing stopping them. There's, you know, it's just,
they have to. So the political dilemma they're in is they have to do something. Like, people vote you into office to do something.
If there's no money,
you can't do anything.
Yeah. Right.
So exactly. Like, hey, okay, make the roads better. Well, we need money. We you know, where are you going to get it from?
We got the money printer. Yeah.
Make it.
Yeah. So the other key thing that, so sort of seeing this coming, the BankX stablecoin tracks the price of 1 gram of silver. So, you know, a physical asset, but there is no silver in a vault, it tracks that price, which is a very good inflationary hedge rather than having the US dollar, right? So we chose silver because the supply of silver is 9 times larger than gold, so it won't move as much, but it still sort of tracks this physical asset that has a finite supply, where the US dollar has a theoretical infinite supply.
Do you see problems with Tether coming when, you know, let's say we have massive inflation and the value of the dollar drops significantly? Do you see that being an issue with Tether in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you have a stable coin that's pegged to the price of US dollar, like, is it really stable? In the example of 30 to 40% of all the US dollars in existence were printed in a 12-month period. Well, I mean, I don't think that's very stable. So we position BankX over the next 2 or 3 years as people start to see the inflationary effects of the dollar, that they'll look to have something that's tied to something a little more tangible, but without having that centralized capture point of silver in a vault, which, you know, there is other stable coins that do track, you know, gold and silver, but, you know, they can be shut down very easily, just like the, you know, Tether example.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, again, you've taken the best parts and you've created something that literally has no fault. I mean, there's no central choke points. There's no all the bad stuff. You've kind of figured out how to weed it out and create the stable coin that is truly stable and that you're not at risk of having it liquidated on you.
Absolutely. The no liquidation, and then thinking through every point where we could remove any centralization. So this really is, once we release this to the world, Fabian and Maddie, there's no way to stop it because it's on the blockchain. It lives on the internet without any single one person with the off switch. So it will be just you and this software that lives forever. And you can go there with a crypto asset and mint the stablecoin, earn interest and do whatever you like. And your world will be your money on with this key, and you become your own bank, basically, is what happens.
That's amazing. You become your own bank. You decide how much interest you want to earn. You can mint, you can go buy more Ethereum, mint more, create more currency, get more interest, and then go on permanent vacation, or, you know, help other people. That's one big thing that I know I keep coming back to Andrew Yang, but he had this really cool thing where he gave people money, like a few hundred bucks a month, I think, or $1,000 or $500, whatever it was. And then they interviewed all of them and they're like, what'd you spend money on? And a lot of them were like, I was able to help my friend who needed something, or I was able to help my parents. A lot of people, they don't even use it for them. They pay off their bills and then they just start helping people. So, I mean, think about it. Let's say, you know, your parents,
money is like the main stressor. Money is like a huge stressor in our economy. And obviously, like you said, Fabian, it like is very, it weighs a lot on our health, right? Like that's part of the reason people are like overweight. They don't have time to sleep. Like,
it's
especially
huge
with shutdowns, with businesses being closed and people losing their jobs. And it's, you know, there's people aren't in control of what they should be, which is their way to make a living, be able to do the things they want to do.
So I'm excited for this thing to come out. You said it's around December, January. That's amazing.
Absolutely. I want all the coins.
We're going to announce something that's never been done before, Maddie, with a giveaway. I'll leave it at that, but that's what we're, we'll hold off on that. Just working out the final details, but we'll come back. And
you're giving away something for people that go to the website now, right? It's not the giveaway, but it's something.
Right now, before we launch, we're in something called the sacrifice phase. So you can learn all about that at bankx.io. But for joining our community and attending our webinars, you get X points, which convert into BankX tokens on a one-to-one basis at the launch. So I basically did that to distinguish between the actual token and the pre-launch sort of earnings from a basically legal perspective.
Got it.
But so, they are one, they're one-to-one.
Got it. So right now someone can go on the website, learn about it, join a webinar, and then get points that are going to be converted once the token comes out.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. That's free money basically for learning.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we're going to do something with the stablecoin, which we'll talk about later.
We'll definitely have to have you back on and talk about that. And we can go more in depth about different stuff. I know, you know, a lot of people know about crypto now. It's not like it was a few years ago where we're like, well, what is a blockchain? But I mean, a lot of people still don't know, or they know briefly, but stablecoins is something new. People know Bitcoin and Ethereum, but stablecoin is maybe not something that they don't know about.
It's the next level of, okay, I know Bitcoin. I get what happens with Ethereum, which Ethereum really opened all this up. And so the next level is understanding DeFi and stablecoin and how do stablecoins work and things like that. So we cover a bit of that in our webinar. And so that's sort of like level two and level three. If you're just starting out, you know, learning what a ledger is, I think we covered some of that, but
yeah.
That's the next piece. When you understand stable coins, you can make good decisions on which one to get into when you're not in the other cryptos.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I will definitely have to have you back on because we're just touching the tip of the iceberg in crypto. There's so much. And it's fun to talk about. Absolutely. And, you know, maybe someone listening to this is just hearing about it for the first time. And they're like, you know what? Like, this sounds like amazing, like freedom. So I'm going to get into it. So, and, you know, the more information is out there, good information, not these, you know, these scam coins that are like pump and dumps and stuff like that, but actual true, like with utility, except for SafeMoon. I love my SafeMoon. Well, Lance, thank you for coming on with us and
sure, explaining to people it.
And talking about BankX. I can't wait till it gets, till it releases. Definitely going to be minting me some coinage. Where can people learn more about you? You said BankX.io.
Yeah, everything's there on BankX, www.bankx.io. We have all the social links to join. The right there on the front page is to join the webinar, so you can, you know, do that. We'll do those weekly or every 2 weeks.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us on this episode, and we'll definitely have Lance back again.